Well, as we go back to God's Word today and we continue in that series that I started at the beginning of the year entitled Life Matters More When We Honor God, we come to our third installment. And really what I've done is I've looked through God's Word, and as we begin 2017, I think there are five key areas. When you look at God's Word, these are kind of non-negotiables. When you look from Genesis to Revelation, there are five key areas that we are told that we are to honor God with our life in. Week one was we needed to honor God spiritually, and we looked at that. Last week, we talked about honoring God in our relationships, that each and every one of us needs to have a core of strong friendships around here that are God-honoring friendships. Then our relationships need to be not just simply with a few core, but with the church, the community of believers, God's church, and talk about the importance of that. But then we also, as children of God, just like Christ, we need to have relationships, gospel-centered relationships with those who are lost. Those, as Jesus says throughout the gospel, he was a friend of sinners. He was a friend of sinners. And then we ought to have relationships with people so we can share faith with them, that we can invite them to church with and make an impact on their lives. And here's the third area today, that as you look in God's Word, this is another non-negotiable. In God's Word, it's a command, and it is this: life matters more when we honor God physically, in our physical body, in our earthly body. Now, you may say, Pastor, it really doesn't seem like my physical body is that spiritual, is that much of a spiritual endeavor. Well, let me just remind you of what God's Word said. Let me remind you what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Paul said, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God?" And he goes, "You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God in your bodies." Honor God in your bodies. Now, it seems like when we come to the body in our fallen world, in our fallen nature, in our human condition, it seems like, and this even applies oftentimes in the church, in God's church, we have a tendency to go one of two extremes. We either go to one extreme where it says the body doesn't matter at all, it's completely unimportant. Or the other extreme, our body is all important, it's all that we worry about. In other words, or one extreme, our body image doesn't matter, our body shape doesn't matter at all. Or the other extreme, in our sinful human condition, that, man, my body image and my six-pack abs is all that matters. And I want you to know, it's neither one of those. Your body does matter, but it doesn't matter most. I want to say that again. When you look through God's Word, your body and the way you treat your body does matter, but it doesn't matter most. Now, I want to point out something in this passage for you, that anytime translators are translating from the original Greek, the original Hebrew, into English, they always try to create flow in reading. If you look at this word body, you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. You don't have to turn there, I'll just tell you. Paul was talking to the corporate congregation, the church, and he says, as a church, you are the body of Christ. And it says the body has many members, and we talk about spiritual gifts, and, you know, just like the body has eyes and arms and hands and feet, he says the church is that way. Some of you are gifted one way, some are talented and gifted the other way. He says, as a congregation as a whole, we are the physical, fleshly body of Christ on this earth. All the many parts make up one whole. In this passage, Paul is talking to individuals. And he says, as individuals, your body is the temple of God. Now, if you happen to use a different translation, this happens to be the NIV. If you happen to be in the New American Standard or the New King James or the ESV, some other translation, you will notice that this is translated a little differently. It says in those, it says, "Do you not know that your body is," not are, "your body," singular, "is the temple of God? Therefore, honor God in your body." I will tell you, this translation is wrong. They're trying to make it easy to read, but it is singular in nature. If you go look and read the original Greek, It says, do you not know, he says, do you not know that your body is the temple of God? Each of us has one body. How many of you know that? Anybody have more than one? All right. We all have one body. And in the Greek, in the it is singular. Each of us has one body. What are we to do with that one body? We are each to honor God with that one body. So the more accurate translation here from the original Greek is, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Corporately as a congregation, all of us together make up the body of Christ throughout this earth. But individually, he says, do you not know that your body, individually, is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? How do we receive the Holy Spirit individually? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Singular. Life matters more when we honor God physically. Now, I know what some of you are saying, Pastor, this whole body thing and body image, it's kind of going crazy, and I agree with you. But I also want to encourage you not to go to the extreme that your body doesn't matter at all to God. Because I want you to know the more physically healthy you are, the stronger we are, the more nourished we are, the more we can actively serve God and be used by God. So our bodies matter. They don't matter most, but they matter. Boy, if you think about body, we are fascinated with our body. I was in some research for this sermon. I went to Google, and I just Googled, what are the top 2017 New Year's resolutions? Top. Everybody knows that that usually something to do with our physical health is at the top. I pulled up the top seven. The top seven New Year's resolutions from this year, and let me just give them to you in reverse order. Number seven was to read more. Number seven was to read more. Seventh most common New Year's resolution was to read more. Now, that's down from last year by 6%. So apparently, we're not planning to be big readers here in 2017. Travel was number six. Want to travel more. That's also down 1%. Don't know why. To spend less and save more, that was up 17%. It jumped all the way up to number five. Learn some new hobbies. That was up up almost 5%. Learn something new. Number three was to live life to the fullest, and there were a bunch of different categories that they put in there. That was up 13%. In other words, I think when you look at that one, live life to the fullest or enjoy life more, that just reflects an election season, right? And how can we be more miserable in 2017 than we were last year going through that election season? Number two is people in many categories to get organized, but number one, up another 14%. And I want you to know, if you looked at the 62.776 million New Year's resolutions that were out there, the number one New Year's resolution by far was to get more physically healthy. You say, how much more, Pastor? You know those, I just gave you seven. If you take the other six, add them up, they don't even equal to this as number one. So our body matters to us, but it doesn't matter most. And I want you to know, though, it also matters to God. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 12? Let's remember and remind ourselves. In Romans chapter 12, Paul said what? Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, there are some who might say, well, Pastor, do you really want to get into, it seems like a new thing for a pastor to be talking about physical health and being physically healthy. It seems like just a new thing, kind of a contemporary thing, kind of an American phenomenon. I want you to know it's not. It's not. You go back to Augustine. Augustine, years ago, centuries ago, said, take care of your body. Listen to these words from Augustine. Take care of your bodies as if you were going to live forever, but take care of your soul as if you were going to die tomorrow. That is a great thought, isn't it? Augustine says, we need to take care of our bodies as if I were going to live in this body forever. But as much as my body matters, it doesn't matter most. And he says, but take care of your soul as though you were going to die tomorrow. Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher of yesteryear, says, every day we go out in the field to labor, just as Adam was told to go labor in the field. He says, we go to the field and we get exercise, and we are happy in the belief that the Lord will bless that exercise. Therefore, we ask for God to give us health so that we may glorify Him in our body. John Broadus, that great preacher of yesteryear, a founder and started Southern Seminary down in Kentucky. John Broadus, speaking to pastors, speaking to preachers, he said this as a preacher. He says, preachers, to be a good channel of God's message, the preacher should give careful attention to his health. The long hours of study should be balanced by a careful diet and a regular exercise. So I want you to know, talking about our physical health is not a new phenomenon. You go back and look in the New Testament, Jesus talked about it. You looked at Jesus's followers, they talked about it. Paul talked about it, Peter talked about it, John talked about it. So our physical bodies matter to God. So as we talk about our physical bodies, let me just share a few quick thoughts with you today. All right, a few thoughts today, and here it is. Number one, our physical health was originally God's design. Write that down. Our physical health was originally God's design. When you go all the way back to the garden, to the Garden of Eden, God created Adam, He created Eve, and there was no sin, which also means there was no sin, there was no death, there was no difficulty, there was no pain, there was no hardship. But then sin showed up, and all of a sudden when sin showed up, work became strenuous and hard. And physical ailments, sickness, and eventually death followed. Those were all the product of sin. Look at what it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. It says, the Lord God took man. Now listen, sin doesn't enter into the world until chapter 3. But notice, it says, the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Those two words. So notice, work was given to Adam and Eve prior to the advent of sin. Work is a good thing. Now, sin caused our work to become strenuous and anxiety to show up. That's what sin did. But they were told to work the land and take care of it. Boy, activity. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. He says, listen, man, you are free to eat. He says, go to work and eat anything. Now, you know what happened? Is God, if you look at the latter part of that verse, says, you may eat of anything in the garden save one tree. How many of you remember that story? What did they eat of? The one tree. I mean, you got everything, all the possible beauty and the healthy things they could eat. They chose the one thing. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, if you're overweight a little bit or you struggle with your weight, how many of you know where your weak spot is? How many of you know? I know that I've pretty much got one weak spot. It's Oreos. Okay, and ice cream. Banana pudding rolls right in there, right in there. Chocolate cake, donuts, chips and hot sauce. How many of you like me? I mean, there are certain things. And let me tell you, there's not a time that I open a bag of double stuffed Oreos that my mom brings me from Houston that I don't know in my heart this is not going to end well. I know. It's just the way it is. I do. And chips and hot sauce, I'm going to just have three. That's a lie. Man, but we need to understand that we are free to eat of certain things, but there are certain things we don't need to eat. Now, I'm not in here. By the way, I'm not in here putting everybody on a diet plan. I'm just in here to say, listen, if the world, and my guess is many in this room, cares so much about their health, if God cares about our health, if Augustine cared about his health, if James and John and Peter and Jesus cared about our physical health, if we can understand those words that I want to eat and live and be healthy like I'm going to live in this body forever, but I want to make sure my soul is right because I might die tomorrow, that's the challenge. So when it comes to our body, first thing we need to know is that physical health is God's design. Here's the second thing we need to know. We're going to see it right here in Scripture. Physical health is our responsibility. Just like when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he gave them some responsibility. You are free to eat from any tree, but don't do this. That was their personal responsibility. He gave them that responsibility. So, if physical health is my responsibility, let me give you a couple of thoughts. Number one is I have to refuse to be mastered by my body. I cannot let my body control me. I have to control my body. Where do you see this? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Look at what Paul says. He says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I should be mastered by nothing. Nothing should be my master. Now notice this. He says, I have the right to do what I want to. He says, but not everything I can do is beneficial for me. And he goes, but in the end game, don't be mastered by anything. Boy, you can carry this a lot of different ways in a lot of different places. And people, everybody has a strict diet plan. A guy just told me this morning, I said, man, you look like you've lost some weight. He said, I've lost about 20 pounds. I said, what's the key? He says, I'm doing something called, I think it was the Whole 30 or something like that. And I was like, well, good. Whole 30, it's working. And my neighbor lost over the last year about 80 pounds. Man, just getting it together and getting right. And man, what an incredible thing. And there are a lot of things that we are free to eat and do, but it should not master us. You put me in front of a bag of Oreos and it is my master. It just happens that way. It just happens that way. And the reality of it is I'm free to do a lot of things. There's always the debate about drinking, you know, in the church. And I'll tell you, if you look through God's Word, you're free to have a drink. You're free to have a drink. You don't want to get drunk. You don't want to get messed up. Why is that? Because you don't want alcohol to begin to master you. You always want to be its master. We don't want to let food be our master. We want to be its master. As you think about that, where are you in relationship to all the habits in your life and all the things in your lives? What did Solomon say about alcohol in Proverbs chapter 20? Do we have that to put it up there? He says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated is not wise. Boy, I love what Billy Graham said. And Billy Graham talked about the healthy body. He says, if you lose all your money, you've lost nothing. Billy Graham. He says, if you lose your health, you've lost something. He says, but if you lose your soul, you've lost everything. And he says, but if you lose your character, you have no witness. What was Billy Graham saying? He was saying physical health is right, spiritual health and future is right. He says, but if you do things and if we participate physically in things that destroy our character, we have no witness. So when it comes to your physical body, make sure that nothing is your master, but you master everything. Beyond that, refuse to dishonor God with your body. Write that down. Refuse to dishonor God with your body. If you just follow that passage, and I would encourage you to read that entire 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in that passage. Refuse to dishonor God with your body. Look at verse 18. He says, flee from sexual immorality. He says, all other sins that a person commits are outside the body, but whoever commits sin sexually sins against their own body. Man, refuse to dishonor God with your body through the wrong use in sexual immorality. What does that mean? Here it is. Here's God's definition. A lot going on these days. Just a simple definition of the way God created sex. First of all, God created sex as good. Sexuality is good. God created sex that we would have pleasure in it. But here was the way God defined it. Sex is to be enjoyed between a relationship, between a husband and a wife in a marriage relationship. That's where it's supposed to be. You go all the way back to the garden that I talked about earlier. Back in the garden, God created Adam, created Eve, put them there in the garden. He, along with all the heavenly host as witnesses, presided over that first marriage. And then listen to what he said. He says, the two will become one flesh. Do I need to explain to you what one flesh means? No. Man, God gave us that for its enjoyment in the right measure and the right ways in the right place. But I don't ever want to let my sexual drive master me. I want to master it. And I want to refrain from sexual immorality. Now, here's what I also know. Just as I talked about eating a little bit earlier, we're not perfect in that area, right? We're not. Drinking, we're not perfect in that area. Sexual immorality, we're not perfect in that area. If you're a newcomer to this church and you are looking for a perfect church, you have swung and missed. I'm going to say that. If you're a newcomer to our church and you are looking for a perfect church with a bunch of perfect people, you have swung and missed. We got people in here that, man, food masters us, we don't master it. Alcohol masters us, we don't master it. We've got people that have fallen into sexual sin. So let me give you a couple of thoughts. If you have gotten in a season of life where something is mastering you, here's your plan for prevention. I just put it right there in the insert. It says, be selective with your entertainment. Be careful with the advent of online entertainment and all this stuff and pornography just at your fingertips. I cannot imagine being a kid, being a teenage boy or a teenage girl, growing up in these days. When I think of where I was in those seasons and those times, but man, a teenage kid right now, everything they could possibly not need to see at that age is at their fingertips, isn't it? I mean, even as men, as women, on the computer, take you about that long to see something that eventually, without you desiring it, will master you. So what do you do? How do you prevent it? Be selective on your entertainment. Monitor your internet use in this area. Find an accountability partner. If you fall in this area, find an accountability partner. Remember, I talked last week about honor God in our relationships. Have that core group of people that you can trust, that you can share everything going on in your life. Guard your relationships. Don't let your relationships go too far. If you've already blown it in this area or in any area, how do you recover from a failure? Here it is. I just gave you some guidelines, some ideas. First of all, confess your sin to God. First thing you need to do is you need to be honest with God. Don't paint a rosy picture that's not. Be honest with God. Tell God, I have sinned and I confess it. I totally confess it. And then what do? Confess your sin and ask forgiveness from those you have sinned against. Just look them right in the eye and say, I am sorry. I ask your forgiveness. Please forgive me. And then if you've been the one that sinned against, listen to this, be willing to forgive the offender. And I know this is a hard thing. I know this is a hard thing. And how do you do that? Without giving them carte blanche to go ahead and sin again, but at the same time, without being overly judgmental, critical, historical, and nagging going forward. And that's a tough balance. So if this area of a sin has blown you up, you're the one that sinned. Deal with it. Gain God's forgiveness. Build in prevention measures so it doesn't happen again. And then let God bless you and look the person in the eyes that you blew it against and ask for forgiveness. If you're the one that's been hurt, do your best to forgive. I didn't say give carte blanche for them just to go do it again and again and again and again, but then give them the opportunity to prove faithful in that area. Here's number three in our physical body. Physical health is a blessing. Physical health is a blessing. Listen to what John the apostle, and if you look and you had the disciples there with Jesus, and you had all 12 of the disciples, and you had Judas, it was kind of the outlier out there, and then you had the other faithful 11 disciples. There were three that were really close to Jesus, that they were his closest friends, his core even of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. This is John. This is what John says about our physical health. He says, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that everything may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Now notice, John says, I pray that you would enjoy good health, just like I pray that you would enjoy spiritual growth. How many of you absolutely believe that if John the Apostle or Paul or whoever was here was standing before you right now, how many of you believe that he would pray for your spiritual growth? Every one of us, right? But John says right here, not only do I pray for your spiritual health, I pray for your physical health. Why is that? Man, if you want to be useful in God's kingdom and useful in God's life, and you want to live as long as you can on this earth to have the greatest impact, to be salt and light in this life, the best thing we can do is to be as healthy as we can. A couple of years ago, and always at the beginning of the year, and we're looking to start another one. We're just in the process of starting the discipleship classes over the last couple of weeks. We started Financial Peace and had our biggest Financial Peace group ever at the beginning of this year, that as we start Financial Peace, that people are trying to get their finances right. We've got Foundations, a doctrine class. I started on Tuesday morning a Bible study for men at 6 a.m., Becoming a Man God Uses, helping guys recover from, man, I've blown it, I've dropped the ball, how do I get back in the race? And it was beautiful that Tuesday morning we had over 80 of our guys in there learning to become a man that God uses. Now, I have to admit, it's on a physical day, that last week I said, guys, come, because I'm going to bring donuts. So I don't know if there's the donuts that caused them to show up. But so we weren't exactly physically healthy. And if you missed it, you haven't missed the whole thing. It just started last week. Guys, if you want to join us this Tuesday morning, I'll feed you again. It'll be a little healthier than donuts, but not much. I'm cheap. So here's what we need to know. That we always have discipleship classes at the beginning of the year. And a couple of years ago, we started a new program at the church that was called the Daniel Plan. How many of you are familiar with the Daniel Plan? All right, Daniel Plan, it's a diet plan. Okay, you got to eat right. Go back to Daniel. Remember Daniel when he was called and taken away. He refused to eat what the king wanted him to eat. Turned out he was better looking and more handsome and in better shape and everything. So they put together a book called the Daniel Plan. And so Gina, my wife, she is looking in our Creek Guide, just like you can do. And there's an insert that shows you all of our discipleship classes. And she saw Daniel Plan. And she said, great. She walks in. She thinks it's a study of the book of Daniel. She walks in with her big, large caramel macchiato, whatever, with juice all over it and cream and everything. And she sits down in the class, and then everybody kind of looks at me. And she began to hear them talk about what the class was about. You're going to get rid of sugar in your life, going to do this and do that. And I said, well, what'd you do? She goes, I set it on the floor. But they all noticed. I said, well, what'd you do the rest of the period, rest of the class? She goes, I tried to drink it when no one was looking. So she stayed in the class. She didn't go back in there with that again. But I don't care what it is, whatever your plan is. A few minutes ago, the whole Scott Sanford right over here. I will tell you, Scott Sanford, there's not much that Scott does that annoys me, but this annoys me. Of everybody on our staff, Scott eats the worst. Stand up, Scott. Stand up. Just stand up. That guy. See how skinny he is? Doesn't that? How many of you that annoys? All right? Go ahead. Scott is the worst eater on our staff. All right? He always has, he'll have cookies for breakfast. All right? If we have cupcakes, whatever cupcakes you don't eat when you leave today, they'll go to his office. He'll eat them. He eats worse. If I ate like him, I would be the Cottonwood blimp. All right? I would. How many of you know people like that? They just eat junk and they stay skinny. How many of you know that? I hate those people. I hate them. A lot of you probably say, hey, Pastor, you're normally, listen, if you've been here a season, you watch me go up and down. Man, I can gain some weight. And I have to work. I work out hard for one reason. I love food. I love food. I love lots of food. And so I want you to know, there are some people I've noticed, like Scott, annoys me. It's like their diet is made up of bacon burgers and cheese fries. And there are other people, their diet's made up of broccoli and cardboard. And some people who eat burgers and cupcakes like you annoy us all. They stay skinny. And there are other people that all you ever see them eat are cardboard and broccoli, and they're big. And I don't get all that. There's a blood chemistry involved, but here's what I know. Man, a lot of times we sit around and fight, and there are times that people say, boy, I've heard people say, man, you got to eat this way. You got to eat this way. You got to do this. Here's the plan. Here's what you got. I don't know. Some people say, drink, don't drink. Let me tell you what Paul said in Romans chapter 14, talking to the body of believers. He says, accept those who are weak in faith without quarreling and disputing. Accept everyone. He says, one person says they can eat. One person says they can't. One person can drink. Accept everyone. I always care about us getting things right. That's why we've started discipleship classes. But I went to our video team and our tech team, and I said, hey, I'd love for the congregation to be able to work together and to do something. And here's what they come back with, all right? Here's an opportunity we have as a congregation to encourage each other to be more healthy in 2017. Let's show the video. Hey, this is the pastor. We're in the middle of a new sermon series this year entitled Honor God. Life matters more when we honor God. And one of the areas we want to honor God with in 2017 is physically, being physically healthy. And so I asked our genius tech and media team and website designer, Sydney, to look into something that we might be able to work as a congregation together to track how healthy we can be. So Sydney, come in and tell us a little bit about it.
Hey, Pastor.
Hey, Sydney. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Nice headband.
Thanks.
Yeah. Can I have that?
Nope.
Okay, thanks. So anyway, you came up with a program that we can use as a church, and we
yes.
can all get on this program. What's it called?
Yes, it's called Stride Kick.
Stride Kick.
Yes, it's an app where you can look at it on your web browser. You just need a device to track your steps.
All right, a device to track my steps. So the whole congregation can be involved?
Yes, everybody can sign up today.
Today, they can sign up.
Here's how you join. Text STRIDE to 77978, and we'll send you all the links that you need. You can join through your browser or through the app. If you're going to join through the browser, go to cottonwoodcreek.stridekick.com, and there you will be able to create an account. At the bottom of the page, you will see how to join the challenge. If you're joining through the app, download the Stride Kick app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. You'll create an account and connect your device. Then, click Find Challenge and type in Cottonwood, and it should bring up our challenge.
All right. Can I go by Preacher Man or something?
Sure.
All right. I'm going to be Preacher Man. How about that? So listen, Cottonwood, you join us, me and Sydney and the rest of the staff, and let's do what we can in 2017 to be as healthy as we can.
Hey, you want a donut?
Absolutely. All right. So as we close here, I have never worn a device. I don't have a device. I've worked out a lot. I've never worn a device. By next Sunday, I'll have a device on my arm that will track some steps together. Here, for those of you, how many of you have some sort of tracking device? All right, they can all go on. This is totally free. This is like a corporate wellness program and a community wellness. We're not going to track your diet, your weight, your everything. We're just going to try to encourage us to get active together. So what do you do? How do you plug in? It's totally free. You can download the app, or you can text to Cottonwood Creek, 77978, text the word STRIDE. You look at it on the insert there, and we'll send you a link, and you can get it all set up. And we can begin to follow. You can text me. You can come back. You can walk by me and say, hey, I saw you're pretty lazy this week. And you can encourage me. You will know who I am. I won't know who you are, all right? But I do know this. Y'all will be the ones that are behind me. Okay? So let's get healthier this year in 2017. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. God, what a joy it is to be your child. God, what a joy it is, Lord, as a congregation to have people like Scott Sanford and 20 years and his faithful family and kids. And Lord, just let us grow together as we've done and as people embrace from our first message of this series, life matters more when we honor God spiritually, and just hundreds of people involved in our discipleship classes, and last week relationally, and hundreds of people involved in our life groups and home groups that meet on Sunday mornings throughout the week. God, let us all, hundreds of us, be willing to just challenge each other to get a little more exercise this year, to eat a little bit better, and to honor you and glorify you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.